Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, it's almost here. Sunday Night Football, Ford Field, Packers-Lions in Detroit, the NFC North title on the line. As we always do, the opening segment of our final show of the week leading into the game, it's about keys to victory. How do the Packers win this game? What do you got?
Well, I think, Mike, it starts off with Darius Slay. I know that isn't a key for the Packers, but I think it's going to be one of the biggest things in this contest is exactly if he's playing and how effective he can be in this game. I think you and I were talking about this a little bit this week and some of the conversations I've had with people. If you're the Green Bay Packers and Darius Slay plays in this game, run the three out routes on the first play, test him down the field and see how he moves, because he's already aggravated that hamstring once before. He missed two games for it last week with the second aggravation, then missed another game. He's been a limited participant in practice. My guess is he's probably going to end up being questionable, even though we don't know at the time in which we're shooting the show. If he plays on Sunday, it's going to be really interesting to see how effective he can be dealing with that hamstring and knowing what you and I both know about how a hamstring can affect cornerbacks.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be curious to see if he is out there on Sunday night. Do they put him right away on Jordy Nelson? Or is it, okay, we know maybe he's a little limited, the hamstring is a little iffy, so, you know, they match him up on somebody else, maybe a player like a Geronimo Allison, right, for instance, who's not as likely to run a go route, you know, to try to go 50, 60 yards down the field. So I agree with you. I think that's a huge potential factor and potential matchup in this game. But is it too crazy to say that the key to victory in this game is to have the ball last? I just feel like this game is going to come down to the final possession, whether sure. The ball is in Aaron Rodgers' hands or whether the ball is in Matthew Stafford's hands. And I'm going to be writing about this on the website here leading up to the game over the weekend, but there are so many things that just point to the fact that this game is going to come right down to the end. You look at the recent history of Packers-Lions, the Hail Mary game last year. You look at these NFC North title games the Packers have been involved in, the 4th-and-8 from the 48 in Chicago. And you look at what the Lions have done this year in winning 8 times, 8 of their 9 victories are games in which they trailed in the fourth quarter and came back to win, which is an NFL record, right, as far as we know. So there's just a lot that points to the fact that this game will come right down to the very end. So I guess I say, Packers fans, you know, buckle up and get ready for a four-quarter ride.
Yeah, and the thing I'm also interested to see is how Stafford responds. It's been kind of a tough 3 weeks for him, not just counting the finger injury. You know, he has 5 turnovers in the last 3 games, and this team lives and dies with how he plays. I think that was really, really evident in that game against Dallas, where they were there with him, tit for tat, 21-21,
yeah,
matching him score for score. He throws the interception, and everything kind of goes awry for them after that. I don't know how much the finger's impacting him. If you ask anybody in the Packers locker room, they're not showing their hands. They're saying he's playing like Matthew Stafford always plays. What I've witnessed in watching him play is a guy that looks very similar with his arm strength, but just something just hasn't been quite right with him the last few weeks. I don't know if it's the finger. I don't know what it is, but one touchdown, passing touchdown, in 5 turnovers in the last 3 games. If the Lions are going to have a chance in this thing, they need him to play better.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing to keep in mind, too, with regards to the Lions coming into this game on the 2-game losing streak, both of those losses were on the road to playoff teams, right, in the Giants and the Cowboys. But their last home game was really the first time that Stafford was dealing with the finger injury when he first hurt it. And he didn't look good against the Bears. There were some bad throws. I think the pick 6 that the Bears had in that game that gave Chicago a chance to win, I think that throw was a result of the finger injury. Now, that was a few weeks ago. Right. There's obviously been some healing time in there. But I agree with you that how Matthew Stafford really functions and controls things playing back, you know, in his dome, where he's comfortable, where that offense is most comfortable, will go a long way towards Detroit's chances. And for Green Bay, I think a lot of it will have to do with Aaron Rodgers trying to stay on a roll and try to take that crowd out of the game.
Absolutely. You and I have seen that. You've covered a lot more games there than I have. But even in the 3 games that I've covered at Ford Field, that crowd is going to come in hot. They're going to come in loud. They're going to come in really motivated. But if you can really get out there and get maybe 2 nice scoring drives going right off the bat, get some momentum going your way. That's going to challenge them to stay in that mindset. I've seen it work both ways at Ford Field. You go back to 2013, that was something that just built upon itself and built upon itself. Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing in that game,
right,
but
right.
everything started swinging away from them, and that crowd got only more energized as it went on. 2014, 2015, a little bit of a different story. So we'll have to see exactly how it all plays out, but certainly the primary objective in this game has to be to try to get that crowd out of it early.
Yeah, for sure. And this is going to be a fan base and a crowd that will be gunning for that first division title in 23 years and the first home playoff game. They want to come back the following week and see their Lions playing at home in the playoffs for the first time in 23 years as far as one in Detroit.
Yeah, keep in mind, too, the Lions are a much better team, a much different team when they play at home. It's just the way their season's gone. I know that can be said for a lot of teams, but in the Lions' case, it seems to be particularly true.
Yeah, I agree with you. With that, let's toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, I want to get back to something you mentioned in the first segment, and that was the turnovers in relation to Matthew Stafford. I was reminded, had kind of forgotten about this aspect of the Week 3 Packers-Lions game at Lambeau Field early in the season. And Clay Matthews mentioned it talking to reporters at his locker on Thursday, that the Packers really missed some prime opportunities for interceptions in that first game back in September. And not getting those interceptions, not taking advantage of those opportunities, was really the biggest reason the Lions were able to make such a huge rally from a big deficit and make it a one-score game down the stretch. The Packers fortunately hung on to win, but Micah Hyde, Ladarius Gunter, and Joe Thomas all had prime opportunities for interceptions in that game. Now, Demarius Randle did get one, and that was a big one for the Packers in the game, but boy, if you get any chances like that on Sunday night with what's at stake in this game, you better hold on to that football.
I look at the Packers defense in three different segments this season. The first segment of the year, they just shut teams down. They didn't always turn over the football, but they just made it really difficult on teams to move the football on them. And it was a dominant stretch, especially that first month of the season. The second part of the season, they had to find themselves because they were giving up some yards there. They were giving up production. There were some tough losses mixed in there, some tough injuries.
Yeah, dealing with a lot of injuries for sure.
And still, the turnovers didn't quite come. Now you look at this last part of the season. Yes, they've given up some production. Yes, there has been some yards. And I know Dom Capers said on Thursday he wants to get that cleaned up, especially in the fourth quarter. But the turnovers have come in bunches during that stretch. You want to see everything line up. You want to see there's no right or wrong way to play defense. You just need to turn over the football. The Packers have done that. And looking back on that Week 3 game, I think that's going to be fresh on everybody's memory of how important it is to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. As we talked about in the last segment with what the Lions have done with come-from-behind wins in the fourth quarter, it was as though the big rally at Lambeau Field, that game was 31-3.
Yeah.
31-3, and that was almost a precursor to what Matthew Stafford's MO was going to be this season, which was to come from behind, to always be in the game and give his team a shot in the fourth quarter. As I said, obviously the Packers hung on to win that one, but if you take advantage of those turnover opportunities that you had, there is no fourth quarter to talk about in that game. Now, I don't know if you can do that in a game like this when you're on the road with everything at stake. I think you and I are both expecting a four-quarter game. But any opportunity you've got for a turnover, you have to take advantage of it.
Definitely, and especially with the way that Stafford's played this season. I know the 93.1 passer rate isn't going to jump off the page to a lot of people, but if you see what's really truly in those numbers in the way he's played late in games this season, Mike McCarthy has said, I mean, they preach finish every single week. They're not looking past that. It's not like, okay, we're playing the Lions, we got to make sure we play the entire game. That's a primary thing for them the entire year. But with the Lions, you have to be really, really aware of where you are and not give up those opportunities, not leave that door open for Stafford. Because as they've shown, that they could come back for some pretty strange deficits throughout the course of the year. It's not like they had like a 35-point fourth quarter at all, but just the way they've had these dominoes fall for them, I mean, luck's been on their side, and fortunately for them, they've really executed on those chances.
Yeah, you mentioned that 93 passer rating for Stafford. As you said, it doesn't jump out at anybody. But when you look at those numbers, the number that speaks the most to me in terms of having watched Stafford and seen the Packers play against him twice a year through all these years is that this year he's on the verge of another 4,000-yard season, but he's only thrown 9 interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, earlier in his career, those interception numbers were 14, 15, even 17, maybe something like that. He's really cut down on the interceptions this year. Now, the passer rating is only 93 because he's only thrown 22 touchdown passes, right, as opposed to being up in the 30s where he's had some seasons with more touchdowns. But he has only thrown 9 picks, and he's protected the ball better than he has in the past. And we'll just have to see if that dislocated finger thing, you know, creates any sort of opportunity for Green Bay Sunday night.
Yeah, and Jim Bob Cooter, he's just kind of been this kind of a quarterback whisperer when you look at Stafford, because he's gone through some ruts in his career. I think of that one year, I think it was 2011 maybe or 2012, where he had the 20 touchdown, 16 interception season. Certainly there were the questions there when Joe Lombardi was in Detroit trying to get him on the right page. Since, you know, Jim Bob Cooter took over, they've really been able to seem to find a really nice comfort zone with him. As you said, the touchdown numbers I don't think are really there. That's one of the reasons why the passer rating probably isn't where you would expect it to be.
Right.
But at the same time, Stafford is the reason why they're in this position and the reason why they are going for that first division title in 23 years.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that, let's toss it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, talking a little bit about the Packers injury situation here heading into Sunday Night Football. Randall Cobb missed last week's game with the ankle injury, had tried to play against Chicago the week before, and it did not really go his way. The Packers have held him out of practice this week, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. The hope at this point is that maybe he can do some things on the practice field on Saturday to get ready to play and get out there. I'll be curious to see how this unfolds because, as Mike McCarthy talked about earlier in the week, you almost have to chain Randall Cobb down to keep him off the field on game day. And with what's at stake in this one, I have to believe he's going to do everything he can possibly do, not only to get ready, but to convince the coaches and the medical staff and everybody to let him get out there and play.
This has been a really challenging year for Cobb. When you think about him having a hamstring flare-up earlier in the season, there was that game against Indianapolis, if you recall it too, where he didn't play in the first half, I think, and then it was the second half. They ended up deploying him for basically, I want to say, at least 80% of the snaps down the stretch. He fought through the hamstring, did miss one game against Atlanta, looked like he was finally starting to get healthy again, and then tweaked that ankle injury. For Cobb's sake and the Packers' sake, I mean, Mike McCarthy made it very clear. They think their season's just beginning right now. This isn't the last part. This is where they want to start making the run even further.
Right.
So for Cobb, they want to keep him healthy and try to get him in a position to contribute more than he did against Chicago, to make sure that he's feeling everything he needs to feel to be comfortable out on the field. Because, as you said, Randall Cobb isn't going to pull himself out. He's going to want to play through it. But sometimes, as he even said, it's the best for him and the team that they take a more cautious approach, and I think that's what they've tried to do this week.
Yeah, and even if he is maybe, say for example, if he's somewhat limited in the amount of snaps that he can play on Sunday night, it'll be an interesting change-up in the slot if you go from the 5'11 Randall Cobb for a few plays, and then the next series, the 6'5 Geronimo Allison is the guy lining up in that exact same spot. It gives the defense something to think about. I mean, obviously, you'd prefer to have a healthy Randall Cobb and have everything that he can do at your disposal, but with what Allison did last week and just his different body type and what he brings to the table offensively, the Packers, I think, will be able to navigate this and potentially find a way to work it to their advantage.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. And I know that a lot has been made out of Jordy Nelson playing more in the slot this past week against Minnesota. Geronimo Allison played there as well. Not the guys you traditionally think of when you think of slot receivers, but Packers have kind of thrown that out the window a little bit in terms of what the qualifications are. Luke Getsy said it on Thursday night, too, the Packers receivers coach. Everybody who's on the field is expected to know how to play everywhere at the receiver position. I think that's gone a long way for the Packers this season. Devontae Adams has played in the slot. You've seen Geronimo Allison jump in there, Jared Cook. They've used a multitude of players at that position. So if you're not going to have Cobb, I think they're as well-equipped to handle that as probably they ever have in this time in Green Bay. And now, I mean, you certainly want to have him back on the field. You want to have him contributing. But with all the options you have offensively, I think it makes it a little bit more palatable to have to go without him if you need to.
Yeah, and on the defensive side of the ball, we've seen the Packers hold out Julius Peppers out of practice both Wednesday and Thursday, not injury-related, strictly a rest situation. And Mike McCarthy has talked about it, saying they just feel that this is the best thing for him with the increased snaps, the increased reps that he's had over the final month or final 6 weeks of the season, with Clay Matthews being limited with his shoulder injury and other injuries, Kyler Fackrell with the hamstring, Jayrone Elliott now with the hand injury. Julius Peppers has had to play more down the stretch than maybe they planned, and just trying to get him as much rest and recovery as possible so that, kind of like we talked about with Clay Matthews last week, if Julius Peppers can make that one game-changing type
absolutely.
Of play, then that's what you're looking for Sunday night.
No doubt. And keep in mind, 36 years old, he's the only outside linebacker that hasn't missed a game yet for the Packers this season. So you want to make sure you've gotten this far through the season to keep him healthy for this stretch run.
Yeah, for sure. And let's not forget, it's easy to forget because of the game ending with the Hail Mary and everything last year, but it was Julius Peppers' strip sack of Matthew Stafford early in the third quarter that started the Packers' comeback after that first half had just gone completely sideways at Ford Field last year. So maybe Julius Peppers has one more of those in him here for Green Bay. But with that, let's throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, final segment of the week. Let's recap exactly the playoff situation, the playoff scenario here for the Packers. There's one other game that matters in terms of their playoff fate, and that's Giants-Redskins kicking off at 3:25 Central. If the Redskins win, Washington gets a wild card spot, and the Packers and Lions are playing a do-or-die, essentially a de facto playoff game. If the Giants win, the Lions and Packers are both in the playoffs, and then they're playing for division champion versus wild card. So the players have been asked this week in the locker room, you know, are you going to watch the Redskins-Giants game? Are you going to follow it on your phones? You know, what are you going to do? I'm not sure what the players are going to do or how they're going to handle it. I have a feeling you and I will be sitting in the Ford Field press box during pregame, keeping an eye on Giants-Redskins.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, you and I have addressed this in Insider Inbox. It's only human. It's only human for fans to want to know every scenario. They want to know what's going on with their team. I understand that. If you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you want to sit down in your recliner at 7:30 p.m. Sunday night, Central Time, and watch the Packers take on the Lions and know that Green Bay's already in the playoffs. Totally get that.
Right.
But at the same time, the one thing I challenge fans to understand is that that isn't the way the team's going to look at it. The only thing the Green Bay Packers know is that a win gives them the divisional round game, or I should say wild card game here, the division title and the game at Lambeau Field. Anything else is really out of their control. So I think that's the approach they're taking to it. In this do or die game, you know, if it works out that way, it's been a do or die game for a month. And you know what, Mike? This team will not die. They're sticking with this thing. They've fought through as much adversity as I think you could possibly see during a season, and yet they find themselves in a position to win another division championship.
Yeah, if there were ever a season where the playoffs actually started around Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving, it was this year. As we've talked about before, any slip-up, any mix-up over these last five games and the way everything else has fallen, the Packers are just playing out the string here in Detroit. They're not in a position, or maybe they're in a position where they need 6,000 other things to happen a certain way in order to get into the playoffs. But if you're the Packers, you know, fans are wondering, okay, if you get division championship or wild card, who are you going to play in the first round and what's the best matchup? The best position for the Packers is to be playing a playoff game at Lambeau Field. You look at these last two home games, the Seattle Seahawks had the number two scoring defense in the league. The Packers put up 38 points. Then the Minnesota Vikings come in, the number six scoring defense in the league. You put up another 38 points.
Yeah.
Whoever the opponent is in the playoffs, if the Packers can get there, you want to win this game against Detroit and be playing that team here at Lambeau Field the way things are going.
Yeah, and even think of the 38 points up against Seattle. I mean, what Seattle's done all these years and how consistent they've been. It's really quite remarkable what this run has been like. And I know what fans, they want to talk about Green Bay. They want to be in this bubble. They want to talk about Lambeau Field and the Packers. You want to look at the outside perspective on things. You want to get the perception nationally. Nobody wants to play the Green Bay Packers right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've won five consecutive games, have a chance to go into the playoffs, six in a row. It's not unheard of. I mean, you go back to 1976 is the last time a team got on a run as long as the Oakland Raiders did at that time, 13 straight games to win a Super Bowl. But it can be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing the Packers are really, you know, preaching is that it's us. We control our destiny.
Yeah. The Packers will have their the full support of their fans. It's a nationwide fan base, international fan base, as we all know. I agree with you, though, in that around the league, I think there are a lot of people who are cheering for the Lions to knock the Packers out and not let Green Bay get into this party.
Yeah, not want to go to Lambeau Field. I mean, the New York Daily News had the story saying anyone but him, talking about Aaron Rodgers and the way that he's playing right now.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but it'll be a fun game to watch for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It should be a good one. With that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Happy New Year, everybody. Enjoy the ball game. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.